Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, please open them up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 6 to see what kind of blessings our Father in heaven has given to us. Not so much to see the blessings, but to see the kind of blessings. So let's start with verse 3 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. Amen. May the Lord bless his reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we need your help here during this time. We need your help to open up our eyes to see what it is that you want us to grasp and understand from these three verses. We need you, Father, to help us to drink deep from the cup of these four verses that you have blessed us with. And Father, we need your help to reduce and eliminate the distractions that would interfere with us understanding what you've called us to hear. And we just give you the praise and the glory for all these things. I thank you, Father, for your word and the way it blessed me this week. And I pray, Lord, that nothing would come out of my mouth but what you would want heard by your people. And I pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So here we have a very fascinating set of four verses. It's got blessing all over the place. We have being blameless before God. And then we also have this sort of slightly confusing at times and certainly controversial almost all the time, issue of being chosen and predestination. And I've struggled with exactly how to start this sermon today. Should I just start out by going straight to the subject of chosen and predestination and just deal with that right up front? Thank you, Nava, for your vote. It will be taken into consideration. Or should I just start out and go straight through the passage phrase by phrase? Yes. Thank you for affirming my confusion about this passage. My preference is, and what I think the Lord's leading is just start with the first phrase and start walking through it, and then we'll deal with the subject of chosen and predestination when we get to it. In verse 3, the very beginning of it, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Notice that Paul is blessing God the Father, not you and me, at least not yet. He's blessing the Heavenly Father. He's blessing him for things that he's about to explain and illustrate to us, not just in these four verses, but through the rest of the book of Ephesians. You could say that verse 3 is the foundational verse for the whole book of Ephesians. It's all about blessing and giving thanks for the blessings that we are receiving from God the Father. But then it raises a question. What does it mean to bless God the Father? Well, to the best of my ability to discern this and to come up with an answer to that very question, it seems to me the way we bless the Father is to give praise to him. We give our gifts, whether they're physical gifts, such as offerings, or whether they're spiritual gifts, such as our praise to Him. We give emotional gifts of thankfulness for what He has done for us, and the way our heart just blossoms with joy and delight when we think about our Father in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless Him with our whole being, heart, mind, body, soul. That's how we bless God the Father. And so then my question for you is just simply, are you blessing God? Are you blessing Him every day? You know, Paul talks about being constantly in prayer, and we've discussed this subject before about how, well, certainly we've discussed it during the Bible study hour, where being in prayer all the time isn't the typical praying like I prayed like to start this sermon, but the praying of being always praying in the Spirit, so that even just little things, you give a small, short prayer to the God the Father. In the same way, blessing God the Father includes what we do together in singing and praising God together in song, but it also includes singing and praising God in song or worship in our private times during the week. But then there's also that being in the Spirit all the time includes praising. Like, do you praise Him for the small things or the things that occur in the moment? One of the things that I do, and has nothing to do with I-25, Neva. One of the things I do is give Him praise for just the simple blessings, like making a traffic light. Goes yellow and it's about to go red, but I've got just enough time to get through it. Thank you, Jesus. Even the small blessings of having a good meal. Thank you, Lord, for this good meal. All of those are ways that we bless God the Father. And notice that Paul has no problem saying that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ here in this first phrase. And notice that the word Father, the first letter F, is capitalized. That's because we're referring to the God and Father, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then notice here in this next phrase of verse 3, who, God the Father, has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Don't you find that fascinating? He's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. There is no spiritual blessing we need that He has not given to us. But before that comes this qualifier of how we're receiving the blessings. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. In Christ is how we receive all of this. The blessing of the book of Ephesians and all the blessings Paul will outline there, as well as the blessings we receive every day. They happen because we are in Christ. And the way we are in Christ is by accepting Him and recognizing Him as our Lord and Savior individually. As Matthew tells us that Jesus said, that whosoever will confess me before men, I will confess him before the Father. Every spiritual blessing. But he does say that it's in the heavenly places. So what kind of spiritual blessings do we get in the heavenly places? Well, first we get Christ as our mediator in the heavenly places, standing there at the right hand of God the Father, mediating and speaking on our behalfs to him. We also get the spiritual blessing of love from the Father to us in the heavenly places. And as Paul will speak of a little later, in the heavenly places, we are blessed with the mystery of the gospel being sent to both Jews and Gentiles, and how angels long to look into this mystery and understand it. Spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Okay, that's nice. Thanks for spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. But what am I supposed to do with those? It's not like I can cash them in, like going to the bank and cashing in a check. So what am I supposed to do with these spiritual blessings? Enjoy them. Like every blessing, enjoy it. Enjoy the reality that our Father has Jesus Christ standing at his right side, mediating and interceding on our behalf. Enjoy that. Drink deep from the cup of our Father's love for us and enjoy it. And when you enjoy spiritual blessings, no matter whether they're physical here or the ones I'm describing in the heavenly places, it's going to well up joy within you and express that joy and enjoyment. Even if you're the only person in the room, still express your joy and enjoyment to the Lord. I mean, even this very second, Jesus is interceding on your behalf. He's not just interceding on your behalf for your specific needs of the situations you're in. He's interceding on your behalf while I'm talking to you, so that the Holy Spirit would begin to inspire me with the words to speak to you this morning. All of that's taking place in the heavenly places through Jesus Christ, our intercessor. What a blessing we have in the spiritual places. Wow, this is just amazing. At least it is to me. And especially when I think about him using me to bless you. It's just amazing that I have an intercessor doing this for me. Then verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So we're receiving these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, even as, or equal to, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Paul takes this idea of being chosen and ties it to the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. We miss this. We get stuck on chosen and predestination, and we miss the spiritual blessing that is here. I'll deal with that subject in just a minute. But before I deal with the subject, I want to be like the Apostle Paul and tie it to the spiritual blessings that we have in him. This idea is tied to the blessings we have in Christ. So to kind of put this together in a shorter form, in Christ, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. What a blessing. Before the foundations of the world, he was blessing us. Those of us who put our faith in Christ Jesus, he's blessing us with being in him before the foundation of the world. Then comes that word chose. And then in verse 5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Chosen and predestined. This just gets all out of whack when people try to understand these two concepts. And how it gets out of whack is people pick one side or the other and emphasize that. No, it's all about our will choosing Jesus. Nope. It's all about Jesus having chosen us before the foundation of the world and being predestined for adoption. Okay? I can sympathize with people who feel the need to choose one over the other. I did for several years, many years. It took me a very long time to work through this and come to the place that I am today. And so I don't expect you in one sermon to resolve this subject of chosen versus an act of our wills. I'm going to try to give my best explanation as I can in the short time we have. The trying to comprehend it, I've read books that are this thick on just this subject by itself. So there's no way I can cover it in the time that I have this morning with you. So on this subject of being chosen and predestination, the first thing we have to do is deal with the words themselves. What does it mean he chose us in Christ? What does that mean? Well, it gets confused sometimes. People try to excuse it away depending on what side of the argument they're standing on. But look, it's just the plain sense meaning of the word. That's all there is to this. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then the predestined part is he predestined us for adoption. God predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. He planned it ahead of time, knowing each one of us in his love before we were ever formed in our mother's wombs. So it's just the plain sense meaning here. He chose us before we choose him. However, that's not the whole story. And that's the problem we have. People want to emphasize one side and ignore the other side. So here's the other side. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, verses 31 through 33. Now, it's important before I read these verses from Matthew to recognize them in the context of what Jesus is saying. As you probably, most of you have a heading here right before verse 26 is, have no fear. And then Jesus starts with verse 26, so have no fear of them, referring to those who would persecute people walking and following Jesus Christ. Then verse 31, fear not, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. The King James uses the word whosoever. So whosoever will acknowledge me before men, I also will acknowledge him before the Father who is in heaven. This is my remembrance of the King James. But whosoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. So wait a minute. Brian, are you trying to tell me that it's both an act of our will to choose Jesus and that we were chosen before the foundation of the world? Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. It is both. Charles Spurgeon, once in this subject, said it this way: I feel no need to resolve conflicts between two friends, meaning, in his words, there is no conflict. These two concepts go together. And why do I say they go together? Because the Bible says they go together. We make a conscious decision of our will to put our faith and trust in Christ Jesus, and a conscious decision to acknowledge him before men so that he will acknowledge us before the Father. And at the same time, he chose us in Christ before we ever thought about making a confession of faith in Christ Jesus. So it is both. Some may disagree and want to emphasize one over the other, and I just simply say, that's not where I stand, because that's not what Scripture says. It says he chose us, and it says that we have to make an act of our will to confess Jesus Christ. It says both. The analogy I heard given to me one time was, salvation in Christ is like being on the outside of a big tall wall, and you're walking along this wall trying to find a door so that you can enter through the wall to the inside where salvation and joy in Christ resides. And as you're walking along, you look for a door and you come across this one door, and you walk up to the door, and over the top of the door frame it says, whosoever will, meaning anyone who will acknowledge me before men. The person acknowledges Christ and walks, the door opens, and he walks through it. Then when he gets on the other side, he turns back around and looks at the door, and over the top of it from this side it says, chosen before the foundation of the world. They're both there in the same purpose. Now, I openly confess to you that I do not know what God does or how he determines the choosing of his people. We don't know how he chose it when he chose Abraham as his person of blessing and the nation of Israel to become his chosen people. I don't know how he does it. I don't know what criteria he uses, because he doesn't tell us. And if he doesn't tell us, he doesn't want us to know. And if he doesn't want us to know, it's because we don't need to know. Here's another requirement for faith. Does it make sense that we have to make an act of our will and he chose us? No, it doesn't make sense to me. Both are true, but it doesn't make sense to me. Some would even say they are in conflict, in contradiction to each other, as I mentioned a minute ago. And my response is, Scripture says both are true, therefore they both are, and there is no contradiction. And he doesn't tell us why he chooses or on what basis he chooses, because we don't need to know. We require to trust him in faith on this subject. And I will tell you this, you can spend years trying to work through it, and once you've reached a place of satisfaction and contentment about what you believe, just as I have, not separating the two good friends of act of will and chosen before the foundation, but having them together as friends, as I have done, satisfied that situation, step through it, and lo and behold, right as I get through this difficulty and resolve the issue of salvation and being chosen in him, as soon as I step through it, there's another one. There's the Trinity. Now I got to resolve the issue of the Trinity. How can they be three separate persons but still one God? That's for another day. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to do that today. So that's where I stand, and that's how I explain the subject of predestination and being chosen by God along with an act of our wills. So back to verse 4, even as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. What a blessing. See, the whole idea here, the whole focus of these three verses is blessing. Blessings to us. And I don't want you to miss that just because it's got the word chosen and predestination in these verses. If what I've said was insufficient for you to resolve this question of being chosen versus an act of the will, I understand exactly. I struggled with it for years. It took me years to resolve it. And it's okay. It is okay if you leave here today without having resolved it. It's okay if you take years to get to the place where I am. It's okay. And so be okay with it for now. Because look at all the blessings we receive. Now, Paul is specifically mentioning the blessings that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Christ and God the Father loved us this much before he ever created the world to make us in him. And look at the purpose clause following this phrase, foundation of the world, so that we should be holy and blameless before him. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? He's telling us we are holy and blameless by being in Christ. What a blessing and gift from God our Father. He's blessed us in so many different ways. And when you talk about being holy and blameless, that's a gift and a blessing in the heavenly places. Just let that sink in. We should be holy and blameless before him. You could even phrase it, we are holy and blameless before God in Christ. Then verse 5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Wow. Just wow. Again, let that soak in for a second. Before the foundation of the world, he decided you and I were going to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. And we are sons and daughters of God the Father. That makes Jesus one of our siblings. He's a wee bit more important and significant than we are, but we are still brothers or sisters with Christ. And of course, we are brothers and sisters together in Christ. Wow. This phrase, adoption, comes up multiple times in the New Testament. And what makes it so significant is that we had no chance of being with him. We were completely separated from God the Father. We were a whole new, different group of people before we were saved. And then he chose us not just to bless us with all these gifts, but he chose us to be his children, to adopt us. Adoption is an act of the will. God the Father chose as an act of his own will to adopt us in him, in Christ Jesus. We are his sons and his daughters. I hope you can really grasp and enjoy, deeply enjoy this truth that you've been adopted by God as one of His sons or one of His daughters. Enjoy it and give praise for it. He adopted us according to the purpose of His will. As God chose this, as God decided this would be the case, so it has become that we are adopted. Then verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace in which He has blessed us in Christ. That term beloved there at the end of verse 6 is referring to Jesus Christ as His beloved, not you and me. But look, it's for praise. Everything that we've heard this morning, being blessed, chosen, given this gift of adoption, all of these things with the act of our will to choose Christ Jesus, all of this mixed together is to the praise of God's glorious grace with which God has blessed us in Christ. Notice that phrase "in Christ" keeps being repeated throughout the passage. It may not use the exact phrase "in Christ," but uses the pronoun "him," then this term of endearment called "beloved." All of these references are to being in Christ to receive all these blessings. And He has blessed us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, you can't be in Christ unless you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, as you have confessed He is the Son of God and that His work on the cross alone can save you from your sins. Until you've made that step and made that decision, you are not in Christ Jesus. And so my plea to you this morning, brothers and sisters, is if you're one of those who've never confessed Christ, like Jesus said in the book of Matthew, if you've never done that, today is the day to do it. To speak up and say, I acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that His work on the cross is the only reason for me to be forgiven of my sins and made right with God the Father. Do it today. Don't wait. Because the longer you wait, the longer you go without the blessings. There are blessings that come to us, as I've described here and many others, by being in Christ Jesus. And if you delay, you rob yourself of those blessings. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go down this road too. I know I've emphasized this confessing Christ so that you can be in Christ. But if you never do, it doesn't matter how good of a person you've been throughout your whole life. You're still going to hell. You're still going to suffer in the eternal fires of God's judgment if you never confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you may say to me, well, Brian, I don't like that subject. I don't think God would do that. His word says He will. It doesn't say that He could. It says He will do this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, my friends. And while I don't believe in having to do a confession of Christ every day, nor that somehow we have to, you know, call somebody and say, I acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. However, there is a sense that we start each day with a confession in Christ. Something like this: Lord Jesus, thank You for this day, and I trust in You for all things for this day that is coming to me. So believe now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. And then just lastly, to kind of wrap things up here, when he's talking about all these blessings, Paul is, it's everything else that comes next in the book of Ephesians. When he's talking about all these blessings, he's talking about the grace. He's talking about being one, unified in Christ. He's talking about the mystery of the gospel. He's talking about the unity of the body of Christ. And he's talking about the new life in Christ, where we put off the old and put on the new. He's talking about the gifts that God has given for those who are to help the church grow. He's talking about the walking in love, having love to share with each other, and having love to walk with one another. All of that's in the spiritual blessings. When he's talking about the subject of wives and husbands and how they interact with each other, that's a spiritual blessing. And when he talks about children and parents and how they interact with each other, that also is a spiritual blessing. How servants and their masters interact, or what we would say today in practical terms for you and I, how employees and employers act with each other. And then, of course, the whole armor of God is a spiritual blessing. All of that, every piece of it, is what Paul's talking about in having every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so, my brothers and sisters, I've exhorted you to take joy in these blessings. I've called those of you who have not put faith in Christ yet to do so. And I leave you with the joy of everything he has given to us in Christ. Let's pray. Father, hallelujah and praise your holy name. I thank you for your divine will and your blessed assurance that when we've trusted in you, we are safe. And I praise you, Father. I praise you for the glory of your name, for all the spiritual blessings you give us, both here on this earth and in the heavenly places. And I thank you, Father, and praise you that you gave us the blessing of the Apostle Paul and his writing of the book of Ephesians. And I just praise you and thank you that you've called us together as a church. And I praise you and thank you that we get to enjoy your presence with us here in our worship time together, as well as in our times throughout the week together with you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.